There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 88 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Today, we will be talking about two approaches to life. The old approach, which is the approach we all learned as kids, and that is the approach of fear. And the new approach, the approach we're all learning now, and that is the approach of love. You either approach life from a cautious and controlling mindset, fearing everything and seeing things as good or bad. You're constantly judging everyone and everything, and the conditions determine how you feel. So you must control these conditions in order to feel good. This is the old approach. The new approach to life is completely different and comes with a new mindset. Instead of fearing everything, we now see that everything that comes to us is for us. Instead of trying to control the conditions so that we feel good, we allow the conditions to be however they will be, and we choose how we interpret those conditions. Instead of being the victim of fate, we now see ourselves as creators of our own realities. Instead of worrying about what will happen in the future or what might have happened in the past, we flow with whatever is going on in the moment, and we trust that through it all, we will expand as a result of this experience. On the roundtable today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
After a long break.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
So, I know.
You guys did the round table without me last week. How was that? Was it better? Was it the best one ever? Should I stop showing up?
Yeah, I had fear. I had fear with it.
Fear.
But it ended up good. It was fun.
Yeah.
Excellent. Is it? Yeah. I don't think it's posted yet because I haven't seen it.
No.
All right, we'll have to get that on.
But I was looking forward to this one. It's awesome for us to all be back together again.
I know, except for Isabel, right, who's driving somewhere. So
that's right.
Yep, but she'll be back next week. All right, so this whole week, since I got back on Saturday, so a week ago today, we got back Saturday night from our awesome, amazing European vacation road trip. So I'll talk about this road trip because it was pretty unbelievable. We had planned to leave Friday and then come back 2 weeks from Friday. So that's 14th to the 28th. Well, for some mysterious reason, the flight that we were supposed to take from here, West Palm Beach, to Newark got delayed. So I got these text messages. It's delayed. And so we don't even go to the airport because the airport's, 10 minutes from our house. So we wait and then we're going to go. But now we get delayed again. And then we get delayed again so late that we can't make the connecting flight. So we're like, should we just go up there and spend the night in the hotel and then go? I was like, no, who wants to stay in New York, Newark, right, yeah, for overnight? So we say, no, we'll just stay here. So we're getting ready to go on the exact same flight the next day, on Saturday now. And we push everything back a day. So instead of coming home Friday, we come home Saturday. The same thing happens. So I get on the phone, call United, and they say, get to Miami as quick as you can and take a direct flight from American Airlines straight to Paris. So we drive down there, get in there. We have to go to United first. And in United, like, what? What are you talking about? There is no thing here for you. And so they figure it out, thank God. And then I have to run across the other side of the whole airport to American, and we get on the flight. Perfect. So flight's great, direct, right to Paris, get in, everything's cool. Get a taxi, drive us to our Airbnb. We get to the Airbnb, and the code doesn't work. In fact, we're at the wrong street. So we have to walk with our way overpacked suitcases. We each brought a full suitcase and a carry-on. And so we're dragging these up the streets. And where we're staying in Paris is the 17th arrondissement, which is by the Moulin Rouge, and which happens to be the red light district. So we walk past massage parlors and prostitutes to get to our Airbnb. And so we finally get to the right street, but it's unit number one, and there are three unit number ones in a row. So we can't figure it out, and the French lady there is helping us out, and she's real nice. And finally, thank God, Kate and Astrid show up. And so Kate figures it out right away. And she goes to the middle one, pushes this button, and the code, you also have to hit this bell symbol. And then with all her tiny little mite of 90 pounds that she is, she pushes open this super heavy door that I never would have figured out that you have to push it open that hard. So we push it open, and then we're in the right building. But we don't know which unit is of the three-floor units because there's supposed to be a lockbox on the door, right? Oh. No lockbox. And so we go up and down, and there's no lockbox anywhere. So Kate knocks on the door of someone, and she comes down and shows us it's in this closet hiding in this first floor. No way. And it's in the dark, too. We never, ever would have seen that. So we get into this place, and it was cute. It wasn't really like it looked in the pictures, but it was fun. Except that it was so hot in Paris, and this place didn't have AC, and it was supposed to have AC, but it didn't. So we're like, oh my God, this is going to be tough. We're thinking it's going to get cool enough at night that it won't be a problem. So we go with Kate and Astrid, and we walk up to Montmartre, which is this amazing church, the highest place in Paris, and all this outdoor cafes, and we're having this great time walking around. Still haven't slept yet, you know, because it's like overnight. So we're just saying we're going to stay up as late as we can. So we have lunch, and we're walking, have a great time. And then we go on a subway to Concord Park, and we pick up Kate's friend, who's a tuk-tuk driver. And he picks us up in this cool open air, which reminded me of the thing we did in St. John's, right? Oh. Open air. But this is electric and smaller, and it's just the four of us. And he goes around and shows us for 2 hours all these sights of Paris and explains everything, and we get out and take pictures. It was a lot of fun. So then we walk from there back to our Airbnb, which is like miles. We had taken the subway down, so we're walking. Kate's like, you know, a total city girl, so she's walking at a super fast speed. We're trying to keep up, but it was great because all these sights along the way, it's fun to see. Get into our Airbnb. It's hot. We're making it work. No problem. We're not going to get, you know, chill out for a while and then go to dinner. So Lily gets in the shower, and it's ice cold water. There's no hot water. But like here in Florida, if there's no hot water, no big deal. It's hot anyway. Somehow the water is so cold, it's like freezing. Like literally you can't even touch it. It's so cold. And so I'm trying to figure out how you turn the hot water on. And I got all the sinks and taps going. We can't figure it out. It's just ice cold the whole time. And I think I see this thing that's a hot water heater on the wall. So I turn it on. And it seems like it's turning on. What that did was it turned on all the radiators in the whole house. So then we managed to take these unbelievably cold showers, and so then Lily looks around, you know, the place, and there's like there's no dishes, there's no silverware, there's no wine glasses. We already have a bottle of wine open, no wine glasses, and
drink it from the bottle.
There's no pillows, right?
No pillows.
And so that sent Lily off the edge. And like, that's it, we're out of here. So we found another hotel and we packed up and went for that. And that was funny too, because I had to go out and flag down a taxi, and then he had to come and wait for us on this one-way street. Well, you can't wait very long because you block, no one can get by you, right? So I have to get with him and keep going around until Lily's ready. And finally get all the suitcases, which are way too many suitcases to have. And we get to this fantastic hotel on the other side of town. So this is getting to be a long story, isn't it? This is only the first day. Anyway, we have dinner with Nikki and Astrid and Kate. It was fantastic. And the next few days are fantastic. What happens, though, is because we got there a day later, now we're thinking, okay, we're going to still leave the same day from Paris, which was after the Coldplay concert, which was unbelievable how great that concert was.
So jealous.
I go into a whole thing about that. And then we go, we're going to go down to Cannes to see Chris and Victoria and their kids. And so we're thinking, well, do we take a car or we take a train? And we could have taken the train straight to Nice, but we're like, how are we going to lug these suitcases around everywhere we go? You know, and what do we do after Chris and Victoria with these suitcases? So I said, let's just rent a car. So we rented this car, and I drove it back to our hotel. We get in right through Paris. Everyone in Paris was driving was a nightmare. No problem at all. Phone is guiding us easy. And then I go online, find this town called Beaune, which is two and a half hours outside of Paris. It's this incredible medieval city. We drive to there. We have this fantastic hotel there. We have this great meal, walk around. And then the next day we drive to Avignon, which is another phenomenal city. And they're having a big film festival there. So the whole place is just jam-packed with people. And then we drive to see Chris and Victoria and their amazing house in the south of France with their amazing kids, Kitty and Archie, who we're going to talk about today a little bit in this question. And then we stay there. We had the best weekend there ever. And then we drive to Florence and have this phenomenal hotel that's on the river. And then we drive to Lake Como and have this another amazing hotel that's been there since like the 1800s, overlooking the lake. They have old pictures of this hotel from that, like 1900, like before the war. And it looked exactly the same with the fountain in front of it and everything and the whole of the lake and all that. And then we drive to Switzerland and, you know, the roads are fantastic everywhere. And Italy and France are just perfect. The drivers are great. And as we're driving to Switzerland, they stop everyone on the road, which on the freeways, they have these stoplights. So they can just stop traffic if they want to, right? And people just stop. Like America, no one would stop if you put a red light on a freeway. Forget it. We just go keep going. We don't even pay. They're all stopped. And we're stopped for like half an hour, and everyone's just sitting outside of the car and talking and hanging out. And then all of a sudden, the freeway starts again, just like nothing happened. But they divert everyone off the freeway. And so we go into this little town. It's like this whole procession of cars going through this little town. And we decide to stop and have a coffee and go to the bathroom. And we get back. There's nothing. It's dead. So we were following all these people, and now we don't know where we're going. So we get on our phones. And my phone says go one way, and Lily's phone says go another way. And so I just went with her phone, and it ended up taking us through the Grimsel Pass, which is the highest mountain pass in all of Europe, over the Swiss Alps. The most amazingly beautiful thing you ever saw, but also the most amazingly scary road you've ever been on, because it's sheer 1,000-foot cliffs, you know, down the side of the road. And Lily is completely freaking out the whole time. So we made it over the mountain into Switzerland. There was two passes you had to do, and it was at one point we got to the peak, and it was covered in clouds, and you literally couldn't see more than 2 feet in front of you. So you're going about 2 miles an hour.
Wow.
But it was really fun. I thought it was fun. And after we were down the bottom, she thought it was fun too. But during it, she was freaking out and crying at one point.
Yeah.
And so we go to Switzerland and stay in Interlaken, which is a beautiful, you know, totally typical Swiss chalet kind of hamlet.
Wow.
And then we drive to this other place called Villersexel. And we do it because I saw this chateau online, and it is this 19th century French chateau that is just like what you would expect it to look like. If you saw the Facebook post, you saw what it was. It was this just 32,000 square foot chateau owned by a baron. And we Googled it after we went in there. We didn't know anything about it, but the baron was the guy who checked us in. And we're talking to him about it. And he had bought it in the 70s. And his whole family lives there. And they just rent up the second floor, which has like 12 rooms, to people like us, which is amazing. So, and then the next night, we drove into Paris and stayed at a Citizen M hotel, which is a super modern hotel. They built it, everything off-site, and they assemble it. And everything is total high-tech. We went from this completely historic place to this completely modern place. And one day after the other. So it was a great trip, got back. And here we are. So it was really amazing. Everything worked. And what I had learned from our cruise and going to St. John's was that when you don't plan these things and just allow the universe to take you, you know, and just go with the flow of how everything's happening. Go with the flow of, you know, the reason I got the Airbnb was because I could stay an extra night in Paris, you know. But yet, had we not had our plane delayed, we wouldn't have time to make it back in that trip that we took. We never could have had the car because we couldn't do all the stuff that we did. And that was really the only way to get back, you know, without driving 10 hours in one day. So it just worked out amazingly. Everything worked out. And I had this whole, you know, thought that this is all happening for a reason. This is all happening for me. I don't know what it is now, but I'm not going to get upset that the plane got delayed. Mm. You know, I'm not going to get upset that we had to go a day later or any of the stuff that – or the Airbnb didn't work out. I always knew that it was for me in some way. Mm. And by doing that, it was like a stress-free, totally perfect, unbelievably magical trip.
Fun.
So, yeah. So that's basically what we're talking about today is this, you know, how we were and what I've been hearing about a lot lately is how how we were taught and how, you know, humans live through centuries is basically watching out for danger, you know, living, judging everything, making sure they don't make a mistake, making sure that they don't get killed or something bad happen. And maybe that was the way you had to live 100 years ago. But we don't have to live that way now. We can – there's not really any real danger for us. We're not going to be attacked by another tribe or eaten by lions or any of that stuff, you know. We are pretty much safe. And so our experience now is this ability to live in love and appreciation of everything that's going on without having to worry and stay safe and judge and everything. But yet we still live life by this old approach as if, you know, there's a lot of danger lurking everywhere. I was watching something on YouTube about, or maybe it was on Facebook video, about how the perception is that there's way more danger now because people are paying attention to the news. And the news is designed for you to, you know, to elicit that fear response in you, to make you feel something, right? And so all they can really do is make you feel scared. But if you look at the statistics, in every single area, crimes down, murders are down, death by guns are down, all death by disease is down, all death in general is down, all this stuff. People are living longer, you know, all that stuff. So the perception is this is a dangerous world, but the reality is it's never been safer. The perception is that, you know, it's hard to get by. People are struggling financially. Yeah. But the reality is it's never been more abundant.
And so it's more important than ever now for us to learn how to focus on what we not and not to, you know, before we could be more a little bit sloppier in our thinking. But, you know, if we allow the fear to get to us, it can really snowball. And if we allow us to, you know, if we allow ourselves to watch the news and get scared, it's easy to get into that scare mentality. So we have to really be on our toes.
Yeah, you know, if you have this momentum of living the old approach to life, you like to gossip, you like to complain, you like to talk to your friends about what's going wrong, you know, instead of focusing. I mean, that's all the control that we really have is the control of where we place our focus, where we place our attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys noticed what you're talking about? Have you guys noticed that in some areas you're good at staying in step one and not trying to control things? And then in other areas of your life, you just need some work? Because I've been noticing that with myself.
So what are the areas where it's more difficult to maintain your focus?
Well, it's more about staying in step one. So there's two examples for me, and it's you guys who helped me realize that. The first one was, I remember one time, it's a small thing, but some things stick with you. Like there was one time when we were going to start, it was before a roundtable, and I was like, wait, do we have the quote? Do we have this? What is the quote? What? And you guys were just like, you know, oh, no, you know, not even really reacting and just being calm and staying in step one. And then just from your experience, just from your from the contrast of how I was acting, you guys were acting, I was like, oh, and just want to relax. No big deal. We'll figure it out. Yeah. No big deal. Yeah. And then the other time was a couple of days ago. I was talking to Wendy and Kyla about stuff, and I was just the same thing. I was overthinking stuff, overthinking and planning. Should we do it? And then just from how Kyla and Wendy were, we'll figure it out when we get there. Like, oh, okay, yeah. It was a reminder, you know, that I'm not being in step one. I'm being in step 50. So
what I think it is that if you have the mindset that you're going alone, then you have to say, well, I got to prepare myself. I got to make sure that I'm on the ball. I got to make sure that I'm in control. Mm. But if you have the mindset that all you're doing is flowing information from non-physical to physical, right? If you're in the zone, like I'm in the zone right now. And so I'm calm, I'm relaxed, I'm confident, and I have faith that the words will come to me that I need. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've told you this before, but one of the exercise things that I do along my course that I take is this 1-foot-high balance beam and just walking across it. And so for the first bunch of times, I wanted to go back and forth 3 or 4 times, and I would always fall off. And then I just relaxed and said, who cares how many times you go? Just see what happens. And then it was like super easy. It was like no problem at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like this, when I read when I read these opening remarks, sometimes, you know, in the beginning, I was practice. And then, like with Kyla says, who cares if you make a mistake? You know, no one's going to care. And so now I just like read it and don't care if I make a mistake. And then last time, that was probably the most difficult one that I've ever written to read. And it was, I didn't care if I made a mistake, and it was easy, and I was playing with it. And so it's, if you care you're going to make a mistake, well, that caring is fear, and that's trying to control things, right? Yeah. And if you don't care, then you just allow what's going to flow. And as soon as you do care, as soon as you make something important, well, then you add fear to it. And then the fear just disrupts that flow of this transmission between us and everything else. You know, if you don't know that your thoughts are being attracted by how you feel, then you think you can control things, or you think that you have to do it on your own. But now that we know that everything we say is just flowing from the non-physical, that it's not coming from a memory bank or, you know, some other practice that you do. And practice really is just, it's just getting confident with flowing the information.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So there's two approaches to life. There's two emotions, right? Fear and love. Any negative emotion is somehow based in fear. It's just fear. If you feel fear, the feeling that you get with whatever that fear is, say it's anger, is associated with the type of fear you're feeling. But basically the emotion comes because your inner self is saying you're not focused in a way that is aligned with who you really are. So you feel bad. And if you feel good, it means you are aligned. You're looking at your life from the perspective of your inner self. You're going towards that which you truly want. You know, you're expanding in the way that you intended to expand. Everything's going right. So anything that is based in fear is going to be this disconnection from your inner self, from source, let's say, right? Anything based in love is this complete connection with source. So as you approach life, do you judge things? Do you worry? Do you think things aren't going to work out? Do you try and control other people or the conditions? Or do you do it from an approach of love, an approach that everything's going to work out, everything is designed for me, this is just, this reality is just a game, I'm playing the game as I intended, so I don't have to worry about things, right? I don't have to control anything. I can just let it be. I can just live actually in this moment. I can just focus on what we're doing right here, do this for as long as we do it and have fun doing it, and then go on to the next thing I'm inspired to do, right? Mm-hmm. And then if something comes to me that seems wrong, then I'll feel negative emotion, then I know that that is not wrong, that I'm just looking at it in a way that makes it wrong or appears to be wrong, or this, the fear that I feel causes this illusion of danger, the illusion that it's wrong. And that's duality, is right or wrong, good or bad, you know, instead of what's the opposite of duality? Is there another term for that?
I don't know.
Anyway, in accepting mono. Everything as right. Monality.
Monality. Mono. Everything's mono. Good.
Monality. Neutrality. Yeah. Thank you yeah. very neutrality. Much. Everything's neutral and you decide what it means.
Yeah.
So, yep. All right. So I saw a great quote from my brother and it was on Facebook and he was watching this surfing championship and then they were interviewing this girl surfer. And I think it's a girl. I don't know. And, she said that when I am fearless, I am being the best me. And so this fearlessness thing is coming up. And it's not really fearless because you're never fearless, right? You're never without fear because then you'd just be crazy. You are good at processing the fear. You're good at moving through that fear, right? Obviously, the fear is going to be there. And whatever you do, even if the fear is small, like boredom, that's a fear, right? If anything is anything on below that horizon line, it's a fear. So, you know, I am my best self when I am processing fear, moving through the fear. And that's really the, if you are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, then that limitlessness means the ability to move through fear, the ability to not be limited by fear. And that's really all we're working on here understand that fear is going to come up. And then how do we process that fear? There was another thing where Mark Wahlberg was talking on Facebook. Did you guys see this one? It's a video on Facebook. I shared it on the personal one. Anyway, he's talking about a friend whose mother had, always played by the rules. Never did, ate perfectly, was always exercised, was fit, never went out in the sun very long. And if she did, she always had sunscreen. Always took care of herself, all that stuff. And she ended up getting skin cancer and some other type of cancer, right? And then that guy's father never cared about any of that. Ate whatever he wanted to eat, bacon on top of butter, and went out in the sun and got burned to a crisp. And where it all peeled off and never had anything. And he goes to a doctor and he's absolutely perfectly healthy, right? And the idea from that is that the one approach to life is this cautious approach, making sure that nothing bad happens, trying to control the conditions, making sure that I control what I eat, I control what I do, I control where I go, just to be safe so that something bad doesn't happen in the future. And the other approach is to live life fully right now and not worry about the future. Because if you're living life fully right now, you're living in love. And I thought that was really exactly what we're talking about here, you know?
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, whenever you think something is bad that you shouldn't do, well, that thought is based in fear. And whenever you just do what you want to do, well, that idea is based in love. Because you couldn't do what you wanted to do if you limit yourself through the fear. So if you can process that fear and do what you want to do anyway, then I think that is the new approach to life. That is the direction. That's where we all want to go.
Yeah, and the trick is to know when you're feeling it's bad not to do something, and if it's you're in the flow and you just don't want to do something.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like sometimes when you just don't want to do something, that's fear too. Like if you don't want to, if it's, I don't want to do that, that's not inspiration.
Of life is a choice. Always have choices of something to do and something not to do.
And right. What I find comes up is like, I will have an idea I will attract a thought of something that I could do. And there's some part of me, like that thought was given to me, but there's some part of me that has some resistance or some fear to that thought. So I think, I don't want to do that. I don't want to put myself in this uncomfortable situation. That's not what I want. But this idea was handed to me. And so I've seen now, like, if I find myself saying, I don't want to, then I look at that. Because if I'm sitting there and it's like, if I am really just inspired to do nothing, it's not... I don't want to do anything. It's I want to do nothing. I want to be still, kind of. But so when I do that, when I the more I like seize upon these things that initially comes up and it's like, I don't want to. It's the reason that I figure out is like, I don't want to because of fear, because of being uncomfortable or feeling insecure or whatever. But when I go and I do that thing, then it like, boom, I don't know, explodes like opportunities for expansion and learning about other people and learning about myself and all these things. So,
yeah, you can't get an idea for what you want to do unless it's for your best and highest good, right? And Janine wrote a question today that I haven't gotten to yet, but her question was, how do you know the difference between inspiration or intuition? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's, if I have the idea to do something and then I say, oh, I shouldn't do that, is that the intuition that that's not for me? So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But I think that another one was came from Allison's question, and it was about not doing anything and how do you feel good not doing anything? And if you can get yourself to feel good when you're not doing anything, when you're just sitting there and feeling good, like usually if you, if I'm just sitting there, I'm going to be like uneasy just sitting there.
Sitting there is going to be my favorite thing.
Yeah, you're good at that. I can't.
It's practice.
Like I am fidgety and I want to get on, look at Facebook or play a video game or watch a TV show. I can't just, you know, just sit there. That's why meditation was hard in the beginning. Now I've gotten better at that, but it's interesting. Yeah. Because your natural state is supposed to be feeling good. You should be. Like right now, I feel really good talking to you guys, right? But if I was just sitting here, just staring at the wall, then what kind of thoughts would I be attracting based on my emotional state, right?
All right. So, okay.
Yeah,
so
let me ask
you. So last night, I had a choice. Like, so I went out to dinner with some friends and I met my wife and some friends in San Francisco, and they had she had invited us first, Kelly, to sleep over their house in Marin. And then she invited myself. And so I thought about it and I thought, oh, you know what? That's a nice idea, but you know, I'd rather stay home. I have the podcast in the morning. And so I met them in San Francisco and then they went off and they dropped me off at Barton. I came home. So I don't know. There's a fine distinction between like,
what do you guys think?
I did say no to it, but I was saying yes to staying home and it was fine. Like, I don't feel like I didn't have fear about not going. I thought about it and I'm like, no, okay,
What does Wendy and Kyla think about that?
What Wendy and Kyla think?
I think that your fear was more towards saying no to your friend than coming home.
Oh, I disagree. What do you think, Kyla?
I don't know. I think that either way can be for you. And so if you're choosing to come home, like because you want rest, because you want whatever, then that's
right.
I think that's perfect. But if
I think that if it comes to you, it's for you, and that you can go with it. And the fear is like, oh, you know, I don't have my stuff with me. I don't want to have to get up early in the morning and drive back home, you know, to do the podcast. It's so early in the morning. It's 8 o'clock for me. How am I going to figure out how to get up that early and leave the house and all that stuff and drive home in time and do all the stuff I want to do? So that part is the fear part, because it doesn't matter. If you didn't make it, it wouldn't be a big deal. And if you needed to make it, you would have made it. You would have woken up at 6 o'clock, been totally wide awake, refreshed. And I got my car, I'm going to go. Or, hey, I got an Uber, I'm going to go. Or whatever it was, right?
But the desire was greater to just have a great sleep and have a relaxful night after dinner and then to wake up and do the podcast. That was much more than staying over my friends and.
But you don't know what was going to happen, though.
Yeah.
So here it came in your experience. And if it came to you, it came for you, right?
Interesting.
And so there was something to be had there.
I've been having that come up lately, too, where, like, I went through this really big phase of just deciding, okay, everything that shows up is for me. I'm going to say yes. And then I can decide to say no later, like Joshua said. And so I was just doing that, saying yes. And then I realized that, like, I was just saying yes to whatever showed up in front of me, and that I could be like, it was, I am now entering a phase where I'm getting really intentional with my yeses. Like, this shows up for me. And so I can choose, like, is this what I want? Or do I want this over here? So something shows up and it's not like, oh, I don't want that. And instead of saying no to this, I'm just saying yes to this over here. So to me, I think it could go either way with what you're describing, you know, where like, where it wasn't that you were saying no to this opportunity to stay with your friends. It's possible that there could have been something there set up by the universe for you. But I'm also like, helping myself feel better with the idea that there is no wrong. Like, no matter which path I choose, even if I choose the fear-based one, like, there will, I'm on the path to where I need to go ultimately.
Okay. And even if there was something there for him, the universe will present it again at another time.
Right.
So
right.
I like the fact that you honored yourself and took care of yourself.
I think it's important to note where are the decisions coming from. Is it a decision coming from love or a decision coming from fear? And as long as you know that, that's all you need to know.
Right.
Well, even if it does come from fear.
I did have those things come up, like, oh, I got to bring all my shit. I got to brush my staying at my own place. So, yeah, I mean, I did have that. So,
well, if you did that every time, like, the desire would have to be so much stronger than the fear to push through.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who wants to schlep to Europe and take an 8-hour plane ride and do all that stuff and, you know, and all the hassle? And, yeah, I want to do it. Yeah, definitely, for sure. Mm-hmm. Kyla wants to do it. But yeah, you don't want to do it every week. You know, if I had to go back again, you know, and do it all over again or just keep going, after a couple of years of that, it'd be tiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need a vacation from that vacation, for sure.
All right. You know, well, what I was, I'm sorry. I'll just say this last thing. I was thinking, in my mind, I was thinking there's going to be a better, might be fear too, but I was thinking there's going to be a better time. Cause it's her new house, and I want to see her new house. And in my mind, I was thinking there's going to be a great opportunity to see her new house when it all fits for me. I don't know.
Yeah,
that was just in my mind, but that could be fear too. Who knows?
Mark, when you were first asked, what was your first impulse?
I thought about it like, oh, you know, I want to go out to dinner in San Francisco. And my first impulse was, you know what? This would be great for Kelly to do and spend time. And just, it's just not my time tonight. But I don't know. I'm not. Yeah. But you guys are bringing up good points. So something to think about.
Yeah. Well, and maybe it was right. Maybe they just invited you because they felt obligated to. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the thing was for them to hang out with Kelly.
Yeah, like we really want Kelly to go, but Kelly's married to this asshole, so we have to invite him anyway.
Right. No, that's not what I was saying. What I'm saying is like,
I know.
Like here they have inspiration to invite Kelly over, and they're like, oh no, what's the fears from fear? What about Mark? Oh, we'll have Mark over too. That'll be great. But really, what they wanted was this. Time and who knows? So we'll have to find out next week what Kelly's experience was.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So let's go to read the question from Victoria. So Chris and Victoria have two wonderful kids, Archie and Kitty, and they have a house in the south of France that we visited, which is unbelievable. And they have a house in England, and they spend time going back and forth. And Chris has two previous ex-wives and three previous children, and Victoria and Chris have been married for I think 6 or 7 years now, maybe 7 or 8 years. Okay, so who wants to read for Victoria?
I will.
Okay, cool.
All right. Dearest Joshua, so we're staying in the most lovely places in the south of France, and I post a photo of Chris, Kitty, and Archie on Instagram with the caption, "My entire world." Chris's second daughter, who usually likes my photos, doesn't like this one, and that sends me into a bit of a head. Silly, really. She was the daughter who started sobbing when Kitty was born because she wasn't the expected boy, yet adores Archie. And when we've spoken about it, she has said Kitty isn't her type of person. Kitty adored her sisters, yet recently she doesn't even engage if we mention them. I've said numerous times that they are welcome to stay with us any time, but recently I've given up, really. Before, when I've invited Gabby to Sunday lunch on WhatsApp and said, please invite your sister, I've had it come back that she wants an invitation in physical writing, and then she may accept. She did, and then canceled the day before to go see Chris's mom instead. I feel they just really want to see Chris on his own, which he does, and not really part of the family, and not really be part of the family. They haven't seen Kitty for about 15 months and Archie for nearly a year. In a way, my heart breaks for her, as she is truly the kindest person I know. Ironically, Archie, who the sisters adore, doesn't seem to give a damn whether he sees them or not. From what I can gather, Kitty is his only sister and he cares about, and the rest, Kitty is his only sister he cares about, and the rest don't matter. Today, when we were sitting by the pool, Chris and I started speaking about his ex. Chris's best friend, Ian, used to be married to his ex's best friend. Since they divorced, Emma, Chris's ex, introduced Ian to her new best friend, Lisa, and they have now got married. Ian often asked Chris if we'd like to have dinner with them, but because we have wanted to detach from it, we never have. I've probably told you before, but people where we lived in London used to cross the street because of what she told them about me. For years, I lived in fear. She would say I had abused her child, and as a consequence, I would lose mine. Anyway, in short, as a couple, we still have so much fear around Chris's ex-wife. Should we stay away from people who interact with her or embrace them? Love, Victoria.
What do you guys think?
He's gonna. They're not gonna let her off.
Okay. Who wants to read for Victoria or for Joshua?
Mark, you want to?
Mark, sure, I'll take a stab at it. Okay.
All right. Good.
Dear Victoria, this is a question about love and fear. It's interesting to see which side of the line you find yourself on when talking about your family, friends, ex-wives, and the dynamics of it all. Your choice is to be limited by fear or expand through love. Your choice is to see everything as right in confidence and love, or some things as bad and wrong due to the illusion of fear. If you find yourself limited in any way, it's due to fear. If you would like to expand through love to be the limitless being you are and to conquer the illusion of danger caused by fear, then let's talk about processing these fears rather than succumbing to them. You okay. have a fear that, yeah.
Let's, we'll break after each paragraph here, I think, if yes. we have time. So basically, everything is a choice. Every decision you make is either made based in love or based in fear, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to do this because I'm worried about this, or I do want to do this because I think it's going to be great, right? Mm-hmm. Or this, or it expresses love, or it is who I really am, or it aligns with what I want, you know, that sort of thing. Okay. So every decision, every single decision is either based in love or based in fear. If you know that going in, then you can pretty much know what to do. Because if it's based in fear, then that's not the decision that aligns with who you are. It's a controlling, it's the old approach to life. Mm-hmm. If it's based in love, because it's what you want to do, what you appreciate, what aligns with who you really are, what is best for you, you know, not what you want people to think of you or you want to make sure things go okay or to control conditions, but just what it is that you want. So, you know, in this, before we even go any further, you know that what Victoria truly wants is love and harmony and expressing love and all that. But what she's afraid of is the ramifications that could come if they associate themselves with anything having to do with the ex-wife. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. You have a fear that Kitty is not loved by her sisters. You see this as wrong. We tell you that it is not wrong. It is defining, expansive, and will create the trajectory that this fabulous being of love intended prior to her birth. Do you think she just randomly entered this family with this highly unique dynamic? We will tell you that this is exactly what she intended to be born into, because this dynamic is going to create the trajectory that will launch her towards that which she intends to explore in this lifetime. Do you see that Archie doesn't care? That's because his trajectory is quite different than Kitty's.
Okay. So, you know, when you look at... Go ahead, Kyle.
I was just going to say, this perspective is one thing that I love about Joshua, and it's helped me a lot as a mother in terms of, like, accepting things that are happening with my kids, knowing that they have chosen this trajectory for themselves, that they have chosen the dynamics of our family, that they've chosen me, they've chosen their dad, they've chosen all this different stuff. So it's always comforting to hear that when they're telling other people or whether they're telling me, just this idea that they, these children are in these families for these very specific reasons, you know, that might look like dysfunction from our limited perspective, but it's all playing out exactly as it's supposed to.
And you can see it too. You can see how your kids are, and then if you step back and look at the whole dynamics of the family, including the, you know, the ex-wives and the parents and the grandparents and all and their siblings. You know, you can see that. Isn't it interesting that that kid is this way and living in this family? You know. I often thought when I was a kid how weird it would be for me to live in any other family of all the friends that I had. I said I would never fit in that family ever. Mm-hmm. And it's because I was a master of my family, and I had to go through what I had to go in my super unique family. I mean, my family was completely unique, and looking back now, everything that happened in our family was this created where I am right now. and I wouldn't be here if I was in any other family. Mm.
Yeah. I always felt the opposite when I was little. I always thought there must be some family out there somewhere that I would fit into, but it was definitely not mine.
I bet everyone feels that way. I think that's true. I think people do feel that this family couldn't possibly be for them. Right? Yeah. But it's also like saying, you know, this can't possibly be my body. This can't possibly be, you know, the things that I'm good at. How come I'm, you know... It's really learning to embrace everything that is you that gives you access to the power that is you.
Well, and that's right. And that's, go ahead. Yeah.
And by saying that any aspect of yourself, including your family and the way you're raised and any of your experiences aren't you, you know, wishing you were different in some way, then you're just not embracing the complete uniqueness that is you. Because once you do that, I mean, it's easy to see with people like Jim Carrey and Lady Gaga, how once they embrace who they really are, I mean, they are not the most attractive people in the world or the most anything, but because they're being who they are so much, they are like beacons of this attraction. And as I was always struggling with who am I, you know, how can you be who you are? You know, how can you be who you really are? And all you have to do to be who you really are is to completely accept every aspect of yourself and just be that. And from that, you may not think it yourself. You may not think, well, if I'm just being me, then I'm not being half as good as anyone else. But once you be who you are, you'll just attract and attract and attract and attract and attract. People will just that's be really drawn good. To you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's I was going to say that's like what Joshua talks about, what like you might be going through something in the moment and then, you know, you might not see why, but in time you might see it, look back and say, okay, that's why I went through it. So I was going to ask Kyla, do you look back at your family now and see, you know, what's your perspective now?
I see how every single one of them is totally perfect for me now. I mean, even down to my sister, we are complete opposites, like complete opposites. Yeah. She's older than me and she's never had a boyfriend. And it's just, we just have completely different approaches to everything. And so it was, and I never understood it. And I was resentful when I was younger. You know, I taught her how to put on makeup and do hair. And I was always mad that I didn't have a sister to do that for me, you know, and just all these things that I resisted. But it was perfect because it was just all part of my path for me to end up here. So. And to see how what I saw, I always felt like the black sheep. So I always thought that she was the good one, you know? Right. She is good, you know? But I thought that because of her behavior, because of her willingness to conform to these sets of rules without ever questioning them, I thought that that was what I needed to be doing in order to get love. And I couldn't do that fully. And so I always felt like there was something wrong with me. And so now I'm grateful for the example. And I'm grateful for her own evolution that I can see happening, but it's in her own unique way, which is, I don't know. Yeah, so with all my family, I feel that a lot.
So through a whole bunch of questions this week, came this idea that you set yourself up on these trajectories to make it challenging, you know. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, okay, so here's what I got, was that if you wanted an easy life, you'd be a hummingbird, right? And you've been a hummingbird before. And you just go cruise through life, and that's just a very steady, easy way to live, right? Mm-hmm. But as we get more of those life experiences under our belt, we want more challenges. So here we are setting ourselves up in these families purposely because we knew it's going to be challenging. And that we have to come from really the ultimately setting ourselves up in these situations where we are told and we come to believe that we are unworthy and then moving through that to feeling worthy. So being told that you are wrong, that who you are is wrong, and then coming to understand how right it is who you are, you know, and the exhilaration that Kyla has coming to know who she is from thinking she was wrong all this time is the purpose of being here. And then to see how limited she was as the version she was trying to be something else, to how powerful she is as she is now, is what this journey is all about. And they've been saying this to other people. You may not, I mean, this may come up again and again and again, but you've never gotten this far. If you've gotten to this vibration where you can hear our words, right, where you can hear Joshua, where you can understand what we're talking about, that's the farthest you've ever come in this journey from fear to love.
Right.
You know, so you've never, no one's who's listening to this has ever come this far in any previous lifetime. So the fact that we've all gotten here means that we are masters of this reality.
I've been really tapping into that feeling of power lately this past week. So my kids have been with their dad. And so I had like this Lady Gaga moment where I thought of Joshua because I was driving or I was riding home. I was in an Uber and I was just having this conversation with this guy. This guy rolls up, you know, I'd been out dancing and I'd gone to get food and this guy shows up in this nice SUV and it's this older, like black gentleman and he's dressed to the nines. He's got driving gloves. And I was just like, this is my ride, you know? So I got in and he was just, yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. And it was so much, I was just enjoying it and like expressing my appreciation for the service that he and people like him provide. And so he's like asking me what I do. And I just said, oh, you know, I work with this online community. We have a couple podcasts. And he goes, oh, so you're famous. And, the answer that just came out of my mouth was like, yeah.
Yeah. There's 6 million people who know me.
Yeah. But then I qualified it. I was like maybe in like one little corner of the internet or in my mind or starting to be in this town, but soon to be in the world. And I was just like owning it. And it felt good to take up my space in that way. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting that we have Uber and that so many people are now being driven around like celebrities, you know?
Yeah.
I think it shows the consciousness of this, of people now that they feel they deserve to do it. Right.
Yes.
Where before Uber, people didn't deserve it. And so Uber was this natural, uprising of invention to service what people were feeling.
It's one of my devices for pushing through these fears when I have the inspiration to go somewhere, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to drive, you know, or I'd have to stop and get gas, and then I can just like beep, boop, boop, and then boom, there's somebody coming to pick me up.
Cool. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right. So what is processing fear? It is standing back and looking at everything from a higher perspective. You immediately have the illusion that Kitty will be hurt. That is the illusion caused by fear. Yes, Kitty may feel negative emotion as she perceives that it means nothing if her sisters do not interact with her.
As if it means something.
Something.
If her sisters Wow. Okay. Perceives that it means something that her sisters do not interact with her. That, too, is the illusion caused by fear. But at this age, this fear will birth desires that will lead her to that which she came to explore. You also chose your role in this dynamic. You have already succumbed to your fears, but That has led you to us. You are now learning about fear and love and how to move from fear to love. You are learning about the limitations caused by fear and the illusions and the illusion of danger that is not real. Look at Katie from a perspective of love so that you can be the shining example of alignment that she needs.
That's okay. Good. Yeah. So here we are. What is processing fear? Standing back and looking at it from a higher perspective. You look at your daughter who you think that the other sisters are wrong for treating her this way, right? So the old approach of control, you want those other girls to treat Kitty. So you come up with all these ideas of how you can control them. You invite them over for lunch. You do whatever you do. You tell them that they're being bad, all this stuff, right? That's all, that's this desire to control your daughter's path. Well, you take the approach from love and you look at your daughter and say, hey, she came into this family, right? And yeah. If she gets hurt, well, that is her perceiving fear, and that's going to create this desire. That desire is part of her trajectory to explore that which she came here to explore, which is probably this dynamic of love and fear anyway, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know what it is, but that's probably what it is. So what do? You process your fear by looking at it from a higher perspective. Now, you look at Kitty and you say, okay, at her age, it's actually good for her to go through these mm-hmm. hurtful things, right? It's because that's going to birth desire. But for you, you've gone through enough of them. You've already succumbed to fear. So now your job here is to look at everything from a higher perspective and do what the only thing that you can do for your daughter, which is become a shining example of alignment.
Yeah.
Right?
Which seems very passive, like just, because we think we need to do more. But just being the shining example of alignment, it seems like, well, I'm not doing enough, they might not notice or whatnot. It seems passive, but that's where your power is.
Right. Because in alignment, you'll be inspired to say the right things or to do the things through love mm-hmm. or to say nothing, or to be able to calm yourself first.
Right.
Okay. So I like the next paragraph. Let's go on to that one.
Okay. Would you prefer Kitty to be able to process her own fears or to be limited by them? Do you want her to go around making up limited stories about her sisters and herself, or would you prefer that she becomes proficient in talking to herself in an empowering way? Do you want her to believe in the power of love and alignment, or do you prefer she live by the old approach to life? You cannot tell her what to do. You must be an example. This is the only way to influence her. If you do not become that example of alignment, Kitty will follow her example of control.
Yeah. So Kitty will follow your example of control. So really, to the parent, what's it all about? You are either a shining example of alignment, of the new approach to life, of making decisions based in love, of not having a fear of anything. Or not allowing the fear to limit you. You can still obviously have the fear, but you're not allowing it to limit you. Or you teach your children that the old approach to life is the approach that works by control. But you know that's not true. So as conscious creators, we know that this approach of control isn't ever going to work, right? So why teach it to your kids?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Desire to control others is caused by fear. The fear is irrational and false, and therefore any urge or impulse to take some action to alleviate the fear will never lead to that which you truly want. You created this life in order to become the beacon of love that you are destined to be. Who cares what others think? You either go forth courageously and have faith in the power of love, or you succumb to fear and live this dual life mired in negative emotion. Is it mired or mirrored?
It's mired. Dull life mired in negative emotion.
Mired. That is really the choice in front of you.
So, the desire to control is caused by fear. Any action taken out of fear is not inspired. It's an urge or a compulsion or an impulse, right? Mm-hmm. The feeling to change the condition so that you don't feel bad. That's this urge. And those things never lead to what you truly want.
Right.
Never, ever, ever, ever. Right.
Yeah. The fact that Victoria's created this for herself.
Right. She's created this all for herself. Mm-hmm. And Kitty's created this all for herself. Right. So it's all your creation. So now you So we'll see what you're supposed to do, but the choice is in front of you. You either go forth courageously, which, you know, this, so the difference between fearless and courageous, the courageous means processing the fear, feeling the fear, but being courageous and knowing that the outcome will be for your benefit. Mm-hmm. Not letting the fear limit you, and have faith in the power of love, or you succumb to fear and live a dull life mired in negative emotion. Dull means sort of like a muted, limited life. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go to the next one.
If your stepdaughter requires a written invitation, make it spectacular. Send her a dozen flowers and a personal note. Call her on the phone. Go pick her up. Do you see that they are all consumed by fear as well, and their urge is to control the situation by not showing up? It's just their fear. You represent that fear. The fear that their father loves his new children more. Do you see that they have the same fears you have? All you can do is become a being who does not foster fear. You have no control over their fears. But if you can become a solid and consistent representation of love in all that you do, you will represent less fear.
Yeah. So the only reason anyone doesn't like you is because you represent some fear to them.
Right.
That's okay. Without you representing fear to them, they have to love you. Now, you have no control over their fears or their perception of reality, so there's not a lot you can do except to become this beacon of love. And in being a beacon of love, well, you offer no fear. And if they feel fear, you know, as a representation, imagine meeting Lady Gaga. Some people are going to be excited by it, and some people are going to be fearful of it. But it has nothing to do with Lady Gaga. It has to do with their perception of her or themselves in her presence, whatever. So in this case, the children fear Victoria, the other children, because Victoria represents this person who's taking away their dad.
Right.
And so they fear that their dad's going to love the new children more than them. Natural, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Victoria fears that her husband's going to love the older children more than the new children. That's mm-hmm. also totally understandable. Yet mm-hmm. there's no power in believing that or worrying about that. And that when you feel that way, then you're inclined to take actions based on the fear. Like, you know, tell your husband not to hang out with the other kids, or be, you know, or get yourself in a panic when he does, or these sort of things. Mm-hmm. So there's no power in this, any action that comes from fear, but there's power in imagine saying, yes, we're going to bring the children over. We're going to show them love. We're going to do whatever they need. You know,
yeah,
we're going to build this family. We're going to look back and we're going to just express our love in every aspect with the other children, the other ex-wives, with everyone, and see what happens mm-hmm. then. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah. Last paragraph here,
you know, I kind of like that because there's because, you know, we talk about looking at what were the choices that come up for us and deciding and whether there's fear in that decision or not. But also it's empowering to look at if someone else is acting less than desirable, instead of reacting and saying, oh, they're just being this way or they're being bratty or whatnot, you can say, oh, wait, there's fear behind that. And right there, that just brings some understanding and it mm-hmm. opens up mm-hmm. yourself to their situation instead of reacting to them and judging them, right?
Yes. And as a mom, it makes the experience a lot easier when I'm able to stay in love myself and also like allow other people to be in fear, like allow my kids to be feeling mm-hmm. negative emotion and still be able mm-hmm. to feel good. I mean, it's a practice. It's an ongoing practice.
You know?
But
you know, I've been listening to Matt Kahn, and one of the things he says is to thank people. Thank you for helping me. Mm-hmm. And what he means by that is when, you know, these kids are presenting these things to Victoria, if she can simply say, thank you for helping me, they're bringing up stuff in her to work on. And if you take that approach with people, it's just so much easier to take away the heated emotions, for me anyways, mm-hmm. like put those emotions aside and say, thank you for helping me. Okay, what do I need to look at here? Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, focusing on them, focus back on yourself. And then you mm-hmm. go to love and then it all works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yesterday at poker, there was a guy that we didn't know who came, and he was dressed head to toe in this green poker card suit, right? With a green hat and gold shoes and sunglasses. Gold shoes. And I thought it was hilarious, and you know, I thought it was great. And you wouldn't believe how many people were just like so pissed off that this guy dare come in like this, and what kind of idiot would do this, and who's this person, you know, and everything. I'm like, great. And he made it to the final table. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. He's making it to the final table after all that, you know. But this, he definitely brought up fear for people, you know, just being out of the norm.
Good strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It worked out, definitely.
Throw him off their
game. He was. He was from Germany, too. And his wife was there as well. That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the last paragraph.
Your choice is to become a consistent and courageous being of love and acceptance and accept everything as it is for you to hang on to this. Let me see. And accept everything as it is for you to hang on to this. Or you hang on to this ineffective life that is limited by fear. You can worry about the ex-wives, the friends, the children, and what the consequences might present, or you can become a courageous being of love and push through all that fear in order to express your love. You can worry about the establishment that might not approve of your innovative methods and limit the benefit you have to offer, or you can simply do what you know is based in love and allow the universe to sort it out for you. You can either be an example of control for your children, or you can be an example of allowing. The choice is yours. However, if you wanted to keep living by the old approach to life, you could have never found us. Based on all that we have said, do you want to have dinner with Ian and his new wife? With our love, we are Joshua.
So if you wanted, this is for everyone who's listening to this. If you guys wanted to keep living by the old push life, you could never have found Joshua. Mm. So we don't want to keep living limited by fear. We want to, you know, process the fear and live limitless lives and allow everything that we want to manifest into our reality. Yeah. It's another new topic, too. What do you think you want compared to what do you truly want? That's for another show.
Exactly.
All right, you guys, this has been another fabulous week. I hope, was this as good as last week? I hope it was.
It's all good. It's all
okay,
good.
But if there's more positive feedback on last week when I'm not here, I'm going to be pissed off.
Well, Wendy was so funny being you, Gary. I can't wait for you.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. Awesome. Yeah. All right. So anyway, have a fantastic weekend. I'm going to go kick some poker ass. Money. Yeah. There's going to be no Joshua live on Monday because I got a big poker tournament in Fort Lauderdale. Okay. And then I'm going to the Keys with my brother and my nephew, and we'll be back next Saturday.
Fine. All right.
So until then, have a wonderful week and practice living the new approach to life. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.